Argument is Ghanayem against Holder. Mr. Carpenter.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. My name is Robert Carpenter, and I'm here for Mr. Ghanayem. Mr. Ghanayem entered the United States in 1967 as a stateless Palestinian escaping the Six-Day War and came in as a permanent resident with the rest of his birth family. He unfortunately was arrested several times as a teenager and beyond, first landing him in removal proceedings and then deportation proceedings in the mid-80s when he was fortunate enough to be given cancellation of removal. But owing to an addiction to certain narcotics, he was arrested several more times, leading to an arrest in 2009, actually, for unlawful possession of a weapon consisting of fireworks, which again put him into removal proceedings in front of EOIR. The Executive Office of Immigration Review. He asserted, because he wasn't eligible for asylum, relief under the Convention Against Torture and Withholding of Removal. Hearings were held, and he was eventually denied both forms of relief. He asserted a fear of persecution based on ethnicity, nationality, his religion, Christianity, membership in a particular social group, consisting of stateless Palestinians who would be returned to the occupied territories after a long period abroad, and imputed political opinion. And he was asserting that fear against several groups: the Israeli government, Israeli settlers in the occupied territories, the Palestinian Authority, and various militant groups. The case comes before you with respect to only his fear of the Palestinian Authority and Islamic militants, and only with respect to his membership in a particular social group and imputed political opinion. The evidence presented to the immigration judge included objective country condition materials that supported the notion that certain people were ascribed spy status or Israeli collaborator
counsel
status.
I'm sure that that's everything you've said is true, but part of the difficulty under, say, the Convention Against Torture is the Convention says that torture has to be more likely than not. Would the record support a conclusion that of the people in these at-risk categories, more than 50% are tortured?
It wouldn't give percentages, so I don't believe it would necessarily...
Isn't that essential? If you're going to show that there's no substantial evidence for the agency's decision, don't you have to show that it is indisputable that the more likely than not standard, that's the standard in the convention, has been met?
Well, I don't think we would be obligated to show a percentage necessarily within the objective.
More likely than not means
it's understood, but you're not going to
50% chance.
I understand, but you're not going to find that percentage in the country condition materials.
Why can't you? You can calculate the number of people in the affected groups, and then you can get a rough estimate of how many of these people are attacked or killed or severely injured.
I think the trouble would be...
Who specialize in this kind of thing.
Sure. I think the trouble would be from the country conditions that are a part of the administrative record in this case, there is no raw number of how many people have been accused or how many people are collaborators who have been accused of being collaborators. And I think therein lies the difficulty in saying whether it would more likely be true or not.
But then it seems to me you're really up the creek if you say, look, we don't have good evidence. We have to go by the seat of our pants. Then it becomes very difficult to see why it isn't the seat of the immigration agency's pants that matter.
Understood. I think in this case we have the subjective component consisting of his own personal beliefs about his being persecuted, which was credited by the immigration judge here. And then you have to shift to whether or not that subjective belief was objectively reasonable, and you had evidence suggesting that spies and collaborators are routinely persecuted.
You see, here's my problem. You argue that the claim required only evidence that persons perceived to be Israeli sympathizers risk harm. But I don't see how he's one of those persons. I mean, in order to for him to be perceived as such and for him to pursue, you know, a claim based on that imputed political opinion, don't you need evidence that he's in a group that would be viewed as Israeli sympathizers? And isn't the only claim to that based on his long residency in the United States? In the end, doesn't the claim depend on evidence that people who return from long stays in the United States are always perceived to be pro-Israel? And he conceded that there wasn't any such evidence. Difficult road for you to hoe.
Here's the trouble, and I agree it's a difficult case. The trouble is that there's never going to... The only country condition evidence about collaborators and spies being persecuted is that they are. There's never a disclosure in the Human Rights Condition reports or Amnesty International reports or any other international organization reports that explains why certain groups are ascribed that status. In this court's decision in Hamdan, where the applicant had worked for the Israeli government in a very secular and very non-political position of supervising archaeological digs for a short period of time, he just said it. I'm worried about being ascribed that status. And there was no country condition report or objective evidence to bolster that.
Look at how different your facts are. Your facts are extraordinarily different.
They are different. I think you have to look at the amalgam of facts in the case, though. Here's a guy who has never once been in the West Bank as an adult. He left when he was 8 years old. He's never been back. He's a Christian. He doesn't speak the language. With the freedom of movement being restricted to the degree that it is, and it was documented in the administrative record to the extent that it is, so much so that there's a debate of whether he can even be returned there. But we have to operate under the facts that he will be, under the assumption that he will be returned there.
But Palestinians go back there all the time. And are you saying that they go for visits, they go for long periods of time, they come back again? I mean, are you arguing that every such person is at this terrible risk?
I'm not arguing that every person is. I'm arguing that somebody who's been out for their entire adult life, who only can gain admission to the West Bank through landing in Israel and with special dispensation of some sort from Israel, and who would be dropped at the border by Israel, could easily be ascribed that status. And none of those points were addressed by the immigration judge, and that's why we're asking for a remand so that they can be. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carpenter. Mr. Palau.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, Manuel Palau for the respondent in this case, the Attorney General. The immigration judge's decision here contains extensive references to the evidence. It correctly characterizes Mr. Ghanayem's claims, and it addresses them in turn. There's no basis here to find that the IJ committed legal error by completely disregarding evidence of record or misunderstanding his claims or failing to address them. For that reason, the criminal alien bar precludes this Court's review of the arguments raised here because...
What do you think is the effect of Wanjiru against Holder on this argument?
I don't think it has any effect for two reasons, Your Honor. First of all, Mr. Ghanayem has not raised any CAT argument in his opening brief, and therefore he's waived it. Secondly, we would characterize Wanjiru as dictum because deferral of removal was not present in that case. That wasn't the basis of the decision. We have briefing, I believe, that was submitted recently in the Wanjiru case addressing our characterization of that piece of it as dictum.
You know, you just argued that we lack jurisdiction because he raises only a factual challenge.
Yes, ma'am.
Not a legal one. But isn't he arguing that the immigration judge erred in requiring evidence that returnees from the United States are like are likely to be harmed when, according to Guinan, the claim requires only evidence that persons perceived as pro-Israel risk harm. And wouldn't that be a legal rather than a factual challenge so that we would have jurisdiction to consider it? I'm trying to, you know.
I would submit no, Your Honor. What he's really saying is that the immigration judge looked at the record evidence, and she disagreed that that evidence was sufficient to demonstrate that he, out of all the other people who are going back there, is more likely than not to be persecuted because he's returning to Palestine after a 40-year absence. She cites the evidence of record and says, you're missing something here, and that is that you haven't shown yourself to be someone who's going to be perceived as an Israeli collaborator. Yes, Israeli collaborators are occasionally persecuted over there, not surprisingly, but you haven't brought yourself within that group. Therefore, you haven't proven your claim that it's more likely than not that you'll be persecuted as a suspected Israeli collaborator. He's really questioning her assessment of the factual evidence. I mean, he couches it certainly as a question of law, as he must to get past the criminal alien bar. But I think this court, in past precedents, has expressly stated that you can't really dress up a factual dispute as a legal claim and try to shoehorn jurisdiction by that technique. So our contention, Your Honor, is that there's no legal error can be shown by the completely ignoring evidence of record, misconstruing an applicant's claim, or failing to address it, and that simply is not the case here. We simply have a dispute with how, in essence, Mr. Ghanayem argues that he disagrees with the IJ's decision, but he hasn't shown any deficiencies in her extensive decision that would qualify as a legal error. I would also point out, while I'm discussing jurisdiction, is that Mr. Ghanayem has never asserted that argument before the agency. His brief to the court is the first time he's argued that the immigration judge either misconstrued his particular social group claim as an Israeli spy or sympathizer, and this is the first time he's also asserted that she failed to address his parent in practice claim. Therefore, under well-established principles, he's failed to exhaust those arguments to the board, and this court can't review those for that reason as well. Had he done so, the board could have reviewed the IJ's decision and determined whether the IJ, in fact, did misconstrue his particular social group claim, had they decided that she did, it could have remanded the case to the immigration judge for consideration of that. So our contention is that, by and large, Mr. Ghanayem's argument boils down to dressing up a factual dispute with the immigration judge's decision as an error of law in an effort to vest this court with jurisdiction. Turning alternatively to the facts, I don't think there's any question that the immigration judge accurately reviewed the evidence of record. She did consider his particular social group claim, that he believed subjectively that if he returned to Israel, Israel in the West Bank area, he would be perceived or suspected as a potential Israeli collaborator or a sympathizer. And she simply found as a fact that he did not meet his burden of proving that he fit within that group. So, but again, respectfully, this court, I would argue, does not have jurisdiction to review the immigration judge's fact findings because of the criminal alien bar. There's no dispute that the bar applies here. There was no argument raised. There is no dispute that he was found removable as a person who possessed a controlled substance, and therefore the bar applies. And we would submit that the court must dismiss this petition for lack of jurisdiction under that bar. Unless there's any further, I would rest on that point, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Palau. Anything further, Mr. Carpenter?
The error of law that exists in this case is the fact that when presented with Mr. Ghanayem's fears based on his being wrongly ascribed as a spy or collaborator, the immigration judge looked to the country condition materials and, in one stroke of a pen, without discussing them whatsoever by name or by content, said that they didn't support his claim. She was looking to it as she was looking to it for support of people who had been outside of the United States for a long period of time, being ascribed with those opinions or being ascribed with those tags of a collaborator or a spy. But the country condition reports, again, don't talk to the motivations of what the Palestinian authorities or the militants' motivation is in ascribing those tags to people. And so what the immigration judge missed as a matter of law was a discussion about why or why not he would be deemed to have those imputed political opinions. There was no discussion whatsoever rendered by the immigration judge on that point, and that brings it to the level of a legal error. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.